Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Zach Natto, and with me here is Eric Fox and Lita. Unfortunately, Kellen couldn't make it this week, so we're going to be a little short on basketball news, but we've got plenty of Blackjacks news and Athletic Ottawa news to start us off. Eric, what do you got on the Blackjacks new signing?
Yeah, so the Ottawa Blackjacks of the CEBL announced last Friday the signing of Alain Louis as a U Sports development player for the 2021 season. Now, he is a 6'1" guard from Montreal, and was averaging 7.7 points and 2.2 rebounds in 45 games with the Carleton Ravens. So Carleton, a Carleton product, fantastic to be staying in the Ottawa area. He was drafted in the third round, 15th overall by the Blackjacks during their inaugural 2020 CEBLU sports draft. So he is a draft pick. He's been signed now and he's ready to play for the home team.
Yeah, I'm really excited for him. He's going to bring a lot of championship mentality. You know, he's made it to the end, and I think this is going to be a really, well, he was a pretty deep player in the third round. So I think now, even now, he's going to be a deep player for us. Might be a sleeper pick. I love the five games he played with Carleton and ended up winning the U Sports National Championship and the OUA title. I'm really looking forward to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, three seasons with the Ravens, two national championships, three provincial championship teams. Like, that's impressive on any resume, let alone this one. And I mean, during the 2019-2020 campaign, he averaged 11.1 points per game and even put on 18 minutes in the 27 games that he helped them capture their second consecutive U Sports national title on the Blackjacks home court at the arena at TD Place, nonetheless. So it's going to be fantastic to see another local product. Yes, he's from Montreal, but local as in playing for Carleton, added to this team that already looks like they're going to be a powerhouse this year.
And the fact that he can eat up so many minutes and average high minutes, that's another valuable asset to his repertoire.
Definitely, definitely.
And also, we have some more local sports news. Athletico Ottawa has announced where they're going to be holding their season. It's going to be in Winnipeg, Manitoba. The season's going to start on Saturday. I love games that take place on Saturday. On June 26th, teams are going to be playing 8 matches, 32 games total. And guys, I think it's going to be great for Winnipeg. What do you think?
Wait, so you mean it's actually happening? The season's finally coming to fruition. It's real.
I'm not joking. It's really happening and it's coming soon.
Yes!
It's going to be awesome, right?
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I mean, for the CPL to finally announce officially June 26th, they're doing the quote-unquote bubble type of situation in Winnipeg at IG Field, home of Valor FC, as well as obviously the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the CFL. But to have the weekend of June 26th circled on your calendar, 2 p.m. Eastern, FC Edmonton versus Athletico Ottawa, followed by Pacific FC versus Halifax Wanderers at 5 p.m. Eastern. So that doubleheader match is going to be insane to see Athletico Ottawa kick off the season against FC Edmonton nonetheless. Because when Ottawa started out with soccer and the Fury, they were in the same league as FC Edmonton back then. So they have a rivalry with the city of Edmonton already. So this is just going to be even better to kick off the 2021 CPL season against your biggest rival, so to speak. And then to have doubleheader matches continue on Sunday, the 27th, with Forge FC versus the hometown Valor FC at 2 p.m. And then Cavalry FC versus York United FC at 5 p.m. So it's going to be a busy few weeks for them. And it'll be interesting to see what happens and how quickly they're going to transition to home stadiums.
Absolutely. And the fact that we're starting the season off, that tells you how much the league, like how much confidence the league has in Atletico Ottawa starting out, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, to have the league committed to delivering a full 28 regular season match season this year means that they're going to start the season with the 8 matches per team in Winnipeg. But you know that the next 20 games are going to be outside of Winnipeg. So we will possibly have a chance to watch our Atletico Ottawa play at TD Place at Lansdowne sometime this summer, hopefully maybe July, August. So I'm really excited for that. I cannot wait to see them play for the first time ever in Ottawa after last year they only played out in PEI. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens.
I'm excited. Lita, do you think this team has enough roster depth to make it all the way to the playoffs?
Considering we've been talking about it, yeah, I'm really excited to see how this team comes together and the energy that they get going for this season. And like Eric mentioned, if we get the chance to actually go and see them for a home game, I think it's going to be absolutely incredible. I'm so excited.
It's fun to talk about seasons that haven't even started yet, but that'll do it for this segment. We're going to be moving on in the next one. We're going to be talking about playoffs for the NBA and the NHL. Lots of exciting stuff to cover. Don't go away. This is the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
And we are back. I am Eric Fox. I'm here with Lita and Zach, and let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Okay, Zach, well, this is your time to shine since Kellen's not here. So let's touch on quickly who won in the first round of the NBA playoffs and what the series are looking like heading into Wednesday night in the second round.
Well, we lost the Wizards, the Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Trailblazers, and the Lakers, as well as the Mavericks in the first round. So a lot of casualties. This next round looks like it's going to be electric as well. We got the Philadelphia 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks tied 1-1. Joel Embiid scored 40 points to win game 2 for his team. The Nets are continuing to dominate the Bucks. They're up 2-0 right now. The Phoenix Suns delivered a surprising win over the Nuggets, and they're up 1-0. And the Clippers are down 1 against the Jazz. So far, I mean, teams are just feeling each other out right now. So can't really say too much yet. I don't know. I think the Nets might just walk away with that series. Their team just looks unstoppable. Eric, do you have any thoughts on what's been going on in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, It's one of those situations where for me, I was really, as bad as it may sound, I was really happy to see Phoenix finally win a playoff series. And the fact that they did it in 4-2 fashion against LeBron James and the defending champion LA Lakers was even sweeter to see LeBron go home in the first round for the first time in his NBA career. Absolutely mind-blowing that he's never lost a first round matchup before, but hey, you got to start somewhere, right? So, I mean, when you look at the Western Conference and Utah and the Clippers in this second round, Utah, I think, is going to be the stronger of the two teams, but you can't count out the Clippers with Kawhi and crew. But the other matchup, Phoenix and Denver, I think that series may go the distance. I don't know if any of those two teams are really that much stronger than the other. So I think that one might go the full 6, maybe 7 games. The Philadelphia Atlanta series in the East, I think that one's definitely going to go 7 games. It seems very tight after the first 2 so far. And yeah, I cannot agree more that I really think that Brooklyn is just going to annihilate the Bucks in this round and just very easily move on to the NBA Finals. And then we'll see what happens after that.
And we got to mention Nikola Jokic winning MVP for his team. He's also the first center to do that since Shaq. So I think that's pretty cool. Just a cool fact about him. When he was drafted 41st overall during a commercial break. And now he's the MV freaking P. So what a journey for him, you know?
Oh, yeah. And Jokic has been unbelievable this year for the Mavericks. And it's unfortunate that they lost in seven games to the Clippers, because I think he would have done some serious damage in the rest of the playoffs. But I mean, good on him for winning it. Everybody was talking about how, oh, well, I won't be surprised if it is the Greek freak Giannis again, or if LeBron wins it again, who knows? But I'm really happy that Jokic was able to walk away with the MVP this time. Now, moving on to Zach, you and I, this is our bread and butter, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's quickly run down what happened in the second round and what we're looking at possibly for the third round coming up.
Well, it's crazy. We saw the Jets get swept by the Canadiens, and we saw the Canes lose in five against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I guess Thor's been watching hockey lately, because I think the Lightning are looking to strike again, back-to-back, winning the Cup for the second year in a row. From the goaltending to the goal scoring, the Tampa Bay Lightning have been firing off on all cylinders. And now that the Canes and Panthers have been eliminated, there's only really one team left I'm really cheering for, and that's the Knights. And they're looking to move on tonight into the next round against the Avalanche. And they've pulled off an insane comeback in this series. Mark Stone refuses to quit. He's like the heart and soul of this team, and I think he's the perfect example of what a captain should be. I think you'd agree with me, Eric, right?
Oh, yeah, and that was probably the worst trade that ever happened for the Ottawa Senators, getting rid of a guy with such grit, such heart, such tenacity like Mark Stone. It broke my heart when he left. Him and I are like brothers. We're only a few years apart. He grew up in Winnipeg. I grew up in Kenora, born on the exact same day, May 13th, only a few years apart. So I feel a connection with Mark Stone, and I really hope that tonight the Vegas Golden Knights can beat out the Colorado Avalanche and go on and absolutely throttle the Montreal Canadiens. Yes, I'm a little bitter that my Jets completely fell apart in this second round series after sweeping the Oilers in the first round, but I just got to believe that Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, the former Habs captain, and that entire crew in Vegas will handle Montreal so easily. I just don't see Montreal being able to put up much of a fight. Yes, they have Carey Price, but look at the other end of the ice. They've got Marc-Andre frickin' Fleury. Like, come on, man. Like, he is unbelievable every playoffs. He's won multiple Stanley Cups. You cannot count out Vegas in that series. As for the Eastern Conference, Tampa Bay, as much as I don't want them to win, I think that they're just going to steamroll whoever they play in the next round, whether it be the Islanders or the Bruins. Islanders were leading 3-2 in this series heading into Wednesday night. This was recorded Wednesday, so we don't know the outcome yet. We're not future tellers here, but if the Islanders do move on, I'd love to see Pageau and the Islanders get past the Lightning, but I really think that the Lightning are going to end up in the Cup final, and I can definitely see it being Vegas versus Tampa Bay in the Cup final this year.
Oof, that makes my mouth water as a hockey fan, man. And I think we're talking a little ahead here, but I think Vegas might just pass against Colorado simply because Kadri got suspended in the playoffs. And that just seems to be another hockey tradition. And whenever he does, Colorado can't win. So I think the writing's on the wall for Colorado if you're a superstitious hockey fan like I am.
Oh, for sure. I totally agree. I cannot agree more, because I think that Kadri's hit was way worse than Mark Scheifele's hit. Mark Scheifele gets four games. Obviously, he was only able to serve three of them. The fourth game will be served at the beginning of next season. But Kadri's hit way worse. It's an annual tradition. Every year in the first round, it seems that he gets a suspension of some sort. And he tried to appeal to Bettman. Bettman said no. He tried to appeal to a mediator outside source. They said no, you're suspended for the 8 games. It will be up if they do make it to the next round. I believe he will be back. But at the same time, they got to beat Vegas in Vegas. And the fortress, as they call T-Mobile Arena, is just electric during the playoffs. That is a place that is definitely on my bucket list. If you want to go see a Vegas show on the strip, don't go see a Vegas show on the strip. Go see a Vegas hockey game, which is a Vegas show on the strip. It's just electric in that building. And I don't see any way that Vegas will lose at home in Game 6 in front of their home fans, because heading into Game 5, Colorado was like undefeated at home in like 20 something games, and they gave up a 2-0 lead and ended up losing in overtime. So I really think that Vegas versus Montreal is going to happen. I'd love to see Max Pacioretty, the former Habs captain, or Mark Stone, the former Ottawa Senators player, get that game-winning, series-winning goal against the Habs to eliminate them and crush the hopes of Montreal. As much as I would also love to see Colorado win this and then just show up for the games in Montreal wearing their throwback Quebec Nordiques jerseys, man, that would be sweet. But I really think that Vegas is moving on.
I think Vegas will move on. But I mean, when you think about Montreal, like, they've really worked hard to get here. And you look at their lines, their second and third lines in particular, they're really the showstoppers here. And I think their second line is picture perfect. I love seeing Toffoli play with Caulfield. Vegas might just pass on, but I don't know if Montreal is going to make it that easy for them. I just got to say this one thing too about Montreal fans. You guys got to chill, okay, with the threats you made to Mark Scheifele's family. That was out of left field. And there was like a full-on riot outside the Bell Center. Cop cars were trying to be flipped. Fights were breaking out. There were fires. I don't know if you guys saw any of that footage, but it looked like Mad Max out there. I mean, we're all excited that a Canadian team made it this far in the playoffs, but you're making us look like Florida fans right now, and that's not a good look for anyone. But I'll support the Montreal Canadiens if they somehow make it past the Knights or the Avs.
Yeah, I mean, for them to just completely go bonkers, you guys won round 2. You didn't win the cup. You didn't make it to the cup final. You won round 2. You don't need to start beating up each other, setting fireworks off, setting flares off, trying to tip over police vans, and just having the streets of downtown Montreal lined with police in riot gear. Just absolutely insanity after that game the other night. But yeah, I just really think that Vegas or Colorado, whoever gets through that series, is just going to be way too strong. And if Montreal has too many more days off, they may fall into the same situation that Winnipeg did. Winnipeg had 8-9 days off between rounds, and it's going to be a bit of a jaunt to see if Vegas wins Game 6 tonight. Then they will probably start on, I want to say, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. But even that's going to be almost a week that they've been off. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they deal with the rust versus rest that clearly backfired for the Winnipeg Jets, because they were off for too long and they just came out flat.
Yeah, you definitely don't want a cocky, hot-headed locker room going into a next series or a new series.
No, you definitely do not. But that does it for this segment. The NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a beautiful time of year. You gotta love the June weather, being able to watch some amazing hockey. But we will be back for our third segment, where Lita is ready to go off about Jake Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
You don't want to miss it. The chains are coming off, people.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Good to have you back on the Press Box. It's on CKDJ 107.9. We're going to be talking some boxing news and football news in this segment, starting off with the bad news, because I think we need to. Logan Paul went up against Floyd Mayweather in an quote-unquote exhibition match. I know we got lots to say about this. This was just a terrible match, if you could even call it that. It's more of a hugging fest. Lita, what were your thoughts on this?
Oh, do I have thoughts, guys? Oh, do I have thoughts on this? Okay, so I watched this whole thing. That includes the undercard, okay? And in the undercard, you had a guy named Brian Maxwell fighting Chad Johnson. Do either of those names ring a bell to you?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Chad Johnson. Yeah. Ocho Cinco from the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. Just going to put it out there. Neither of these men have a right to really be in a boxing ring. Brian Maxwell at least has some fighting experience, so he didn't look horrible, but Chad Ocho Cinco was bad, guys. This was only a 4-round exhibition fight. And by the end of the first round, Johnson was gassed. Maxwell, he didn't look too bad. I mean, he was light on his feet. He had decent footwork and he controlled the match for a large portion of it. But it was sad to watch. Honestly, what I would compare this opening fight to is two men in a parking lot who somewhat forget that they agree that they would only throw fists. Like, they were chasing each other with arms flailing at times, trying to get in each other's space. It wasn't super good. And the fact that Johnson wants to fight McGregor next after losing to Maxwell, please. And then the only good fight in this entire card was the Arias versus Herd match that had actual boxers in it. And Arias had amazing production. He didn't hit hard, but he hit fast, clean, and often. Herd, he did okay, but he was heavy footed and allowed Arias too many of those light hits that still count towards points. And by the sixth round, momentum had changed slightly with Arias coming away with a bloody forehead, but he came back out in the seventh swinging like a madman. And it looked like he almost gassed himself out, and it looked like Herd might be able to rally. However, Herd then had two low blows in one round, which got him a point deducted. Not a good thing to do. So Arias, he dug in deep. He got the win. This went the full length. And I agree that if this was a scored match, Arias would win. Yes, I understand the ring was slippery since this was an outdoor event. And for some odd reason, nobody thought to bring a tarp to cover the ring up with. So yeah, that wasn't too bad. But with Logan Paul and Mayweather, guys, I cannot begin to tell you that a Charizard Pokemon card cannot save you from the disappointment that this fight brought to kids and adults everywhere. By the end of the first round, Paul was gassed. Mayweather barely broke a sweat during this entire thing. This didn't even really count as an exhibition or a spar because so few punches were actually thrown. It was borderline a joke. Mayweather did what he did. He made things look as good as he could, but Paul was slow, inaccurate, and boring to watch. While hugging your opponent usually helps in boxing, boxers use that if they're in trouble because they don't want to get clipped by a stray punch. Paul was in trouble this entire fight, so all you got was hugging because he couldn't actually hit Mayweather because he's so slow. So, yeah, if you paid for this fight, I'm so sorry that you wasted your money on this. However, I do have some boxing matches that you might want to look into to kind of cleanse the soul and actually understand what boxing really is. Inoue versus Don Air, an incredible fight. Inoue is one of the top pound-for-pound punchers in modern-day boxing. And whether you notice this or not, he receives quite a blow early on in this fight that breaks his orbital bone, and he keeps fighting through it, which is absolutely incredible. You also have the classic Roberto Duran versus Sugar Ray Leonard one fight. This was a fight between two men who did not like one another. Duran was insulting Sugar Ray's wife the entire time leading up to the fight, and these men went toe to toe. That means light-footed Sugar Ray, who's known for dancing around his opponents, actually dug deep and went square up with one of the strongest punchers in boxing history in Roberto Duran. Also, Chocolatito versus Estrada 1 is also one of my personal favorites, so I'm going to throw that in there. But overall, guys, if you paid for this fight, I'm so sorry. This is not what boxing is. A lot of people think that they can box until it actually comes down to boxing. My rant is over. You guys can add in, because I know you guys did watch this fight too.
Yeah, I saw the fight and I wasn't impressed. And I also saw a Twitter post saying that the Paul brothers are turning boxing into wrestling. And I don't like thinking about that. You know, they're both great in their own ways, but boxing is a physical sport that people train their whole lives for. And it shouldn't just be something a rich guy can do if he has a big enough following. And Logan Paul has never actually won a fight, but he's acting like he's invincible, right? And I know what I saw, and he can deny it all he wants, but Logan Paul, you did get knocked out. Mayweather did catch you. Your fake record is nothing to be proud of, and I think you're a schmuck. That's all I'm going to say about it. I've given him enough attention.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I found a stream and watched it online, and luckily for me, that stream cut out just as the second round was starting, because it was pathetic to watch. I was looking at this as one of the first and only times that I've ever watched boxing, thinking, hey, this might be kind of cool to check out because everybody's talking about it. And Lita kept talking about it and she was like, hey, you should watch it. You should watch it. I'm like, cool, I'll watch it. And yeah, it was a disaster. I'm glad that that stream cut out on me, because I did not want to waste the rest of the time watching that, because it was just a hugging match. It wasn't even a UFC fight where they were grappling. It was just hugging. It was pathetic.
I'm so sorry, Eric. I'm so sorry. Please look at one of the Inoue Donaire, Roberto Duran versus Sugar Ray fights. Those ones are absolutely brilliant. Whatever this was, it definitely wasn't boxing. I think people got more bang for their buck when Mayweather fought the Big Show than they did with Logan Paul here. And honestly, while I don't see the end of it anytime soon, unfortunately, I really, really wish that people who just aren't up to actually being boxers, because it's not just throwing punches with boxing. And I think people overlook that, like the amount of cardio that these men and women have to train for order to box at the level that they do is absolutely insane. And people just thinking that, oh, well, you know what? I'll train for a few months. It's no big deal. I'm young. I can do it. YOLO, whatever. No, you can't. There's a reason why these guys and why these men and women are so good at what they do, because they put the time in to actually learn their craft. You're just throwing random punches, hoping something lands. And you're like, oh man, that looks good for an Instagram post. That doesn't matter in the ring. It doesn't translate over into the ring. So hopefully in the near future, YouTubers and people who just don't belong in the ring stay out of the ring and call what you're doing what it is. It's just two people fighting. You're not even boxing. You're not wrestling. You're not MMAing it. You're just two people meeting up at a location similar to what happens in high schools. And you're fighting. That's it. That is it. There's nothing actually added into your training to make you good, it seems. So no, I'm like I said, I'm severely disappointed in this entire thing. And it was painful to watch. But as I was watching it, I couldn't turn it off because you'd already dedicated the time to it, right? So yeah.
Fair enough. Like you said it, like you hammered the nail right on the head, honestly. And like you polish a turd, it's still going to be a turd. And I can't believe that they didn't have a high enough budget to have a tarp over the ring. That blows me away. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it rained not once, not twice, but multiple times throughout the night. And you had boxers slipping in the ring where one even slipped and then it counted as a knockdown when it shouldn't have been a knockdown. So, I mean, you can say, oh, you know, this is legit. This is legit. This is legit. Well, you didn't put the actual work into making it a legit thing. You didn't take the precautions to protect your fighters. You didn't have actual judges there. You didn't have anything really outside of Jimmy, who is an incredible announcer, you know? So honestly, like I said, I hope this is the end of YouTube boxing, but unfortunately, this has probably given more clout to it for some odd reason because of the internet. Hopefully the Tyson Fury fight coming up against Deontay Wilder next month, that is one that should hopefully be more entertaining.
Yeah, because it's real boxing.
It's real boxing. Yeah, exactly. Like Deontay Wilder, he got into boxing late in his life in order to help make money for his daughter's medical costs. He's not an amazing boxer. His technique, not the prettiest thing to watch, but he can still fight. He has that cardio to still go the distance in the fight. And that is the big difference between a YouTube boxer type like Logan Paul and a Deontay Wilder, who has put in the work over the years to actually get to where he is today.
And that about does it for our boxing news. Super, super looking forward to the major boxing event next month with Tyson. But we still have a little bit of NFL news to cover. Lita, what do you got for us? I know there's something big.
Yeah, so a big move happened earlier this week with Julio Jones. He was traded from the Atlanta Falcons to the Tennessee Titans. The franchise receiver will be heading to the Titans along with a future 6th-round draft pick in exchange for the Falcons receiver, obviously, and a future 2nd- and 4th-round draft pick. This is a steal for Julio Jones, especially if he can come back from his injury. And this potentially gives the Titans a 3-headed dragon with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and now Julio Jones joining the mix. An interesting thing as well, guys, A.J. Brown, receiver for the Titans, he wears number 11, and he actually tried to give that number up to Julio. Julio said, no, man, you're good. And he's now going to be wearing number 2. And Aaron Rodgers, another name mentioned on the trading block, some big news out of Green Bay, as he did not show up to the mandatory minicamp yesterday. And there's a possibility that he could be fined up to $93,000, as per Tom Pelissero, if he misses the full 3 days of the mandatory minicamp as well. This makes things interesting because it shows that Rodgers is willing to hold out, give up money for his stance with the team, and just how unhappy he is with the entire franchise, especially top management. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there, especially because rumor is that Jordan Love has been struggling with all of his QB1 snaps. Accuracy seems to be an issue. So moving forward, it's definitely going to be interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers shows up to the mandatory minicamp at all, or where this situation is going to go next.
Yeah, I think that the touching on the Julio Jones trade, I think that is an absolute steal. I am a little ticked off that my New England Patriots didn't want to give up that little for a guy like Julio Jones, because yeah, you add a Julio Jones to your team, instantly becomes better. Having the AJ Brown, and like you said, having a duo of AJ Brown and Julio Jones, but also having that three-headed monster, including a running back as dangerous as Derrick Henry, that team could be one to watch. They will be one to watch this year, and it's going to be exciting to watch. I think they're going to do a lot of damage in the NFL this year. And as for Aaron Rodgers, I don't see him coming to camp. I think that he's just not going to show up. He's going to get fined. He's going to go, okay, whatever, and just hold out and wait until they trade him.
Yeah, I can see that too being a thing. Either that, or he's just going to sit this entire season and they won't trade him. It's a game of chicken there in the NFL. But one more interesting thing regarding football, guys. I don't know if you saw this, but the USFL, the United States Football League, is set to make its return in the spring of 2022 after 37 years. So it's going to be a spring league, obviously competing with the XFL and the fan controlled football league. It's going to start with 8 teams. And believe it or not, the USFL actually competed against the NFL back in the 80s and stole players like Jim Kelly, Steve Young, and Reggie White from the NFL draft. And it's going to be even more interesting because the league was able to keep the rights to the old team names and logos. So you could potentially be cheering for teams like the San Antonio Gunslingers, the Oakland Invaders, and my favorite, the Memphis Showboats.
Very nice. I think that'll be really, really awesome to watch.
there's going to be no shortage of football going forward, and nobody could be happier than us. But that about does it for this segment. Going forward, we're going to be talking about Team Canada moving on into the next round for soccer, as well as our press box playmakers. You don't want to miss it. We got hit down bad last week, so we'll be back on the press box. CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
And we are back here on the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Eric Fox, here hanging with Zach and Lita. Now, Zach, you brought up something off air that we really need to touch on this week. So what's going on in the UFC this weekend with the big fight that's coming up?
Oh boy, UFC 263 this Saturday, main card starting at 10 p.m. The main event is Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori. It's a rematch. And what's interesting about this one is the last match they had, it ended in a split decision, which Adesanya has never had since. So that's going to be a really, really awesome fight to see. Another one I'm really looking forward to is Leon Edwards going up against Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz looks like he might be on his way out, but he's still got it. He's still ready to go. Leon Edwards has been better than ever, so I'm thinking he might win that one. And we got to give a shout out to our Canadian Hakeem Dawoodo in the prelims. He's going up against some tough competition. Movzar Evloev, pardon me for butchering that if I did, but he's 14-0 in his matches. So he's got a very, very promising future being undefeated so far. And we also got to give a shout out to Alexis Davis. She's 20-10. She's also Canadian, and she's going up against Kianzad in the early prelims. I'm going to be tuning into this one, guys. I don't know if you guys are, but I love UFC.
It's a fight. I'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely check out the UFC fight this weekend, especially when you have guys like Nate Diaz and Israel Adesanya fighting in the main card. It's, you know, it's going to be exciting to watch. Now, quickly moving on, we need to talk about something, and it would be a fool's errand if we do not discuss the Canadian men's soccer team, because Tuesday night, the Canadian men's soccer team defeated Suriname 4-0 in the final game of the first round of the World Cup qualifying for the Qatar 2022 World Cup. And it came with an amazing, amazing game. The game started out Alphonso Davies, absolutely incredible goal to start the scoring in the first half. And then from there, it was the Jonathan David show. 21-year-old Jonathan David. He got a hat trick in this game, including a PK that he was able to get in on to make the hat trick a reality, but absolutely incredible game by the Canadian men's team. And in this group, they were in Group B, the qualifying play. They dispatched number 168 Bermuda 5-1, 194th ranked Cayman Islands 11-0 before shutting out number 205 Aruba, and Suriname just beating them absolutely incredible last night. And now they are moving on and will play Haiti in round two of the World Cup qualifying. And what'll happen is they will play home and home against Haiti. Obviously, the home game won't be in Canada. They're not allowed yet, but it's going to be an exciting weekend coming up over Saturday and next Tuesday, these two games against Haiti. And if they move on, they move on to the third round. They only have to get through two more rounds to qualify for the World Cup. So it's a very exciting time for Canadian soccer. What do you guys think?
Oh, I'm all for Canadians winning it all in soccer, man. Obviously.
Yeah, it's been long overdue.
Yeah, the fact that they haven't made a World Cup since the 80s, and during that World Cup, they went 0-3 and didn't even score a goal. This team looks like they're destiny is to make it to a World Cup, or at least continue to push through the rounds of World Cup qualifying. So I'm really excited to watch. It's going to be very, very exciting. But on that note, talking about exciting, the moment that everybody tunes into this show for, the Press Box Playmakers with Zach. Zach, you kind of teased us with it before the break, but what happened last week? Where are we sitting on the year so far? And what have you got for us this week on the Press Box Playmakers?
Oh boy, Eric, you know, you say it's what everybody tunes in for, but I don't know how much longer people are going to be tuning in, because we are officially at DEF CON 1. A positive record is at stake here. We went 1-3 last week. It's been hectic here at the Press Box Playmaker offices. I've had people screaming at me on the phones all day long. I'm taking every scenario into account heading into this weekend, and we only have one hockey game to bet on this week, so we're in trouble. The Suns were our only saving grace last week. We'll see how the picks go this week. Starting it off with the money line, we're going into the NBA. I'm saying the Brooklyn Nets are going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going on a hunting trip, and it looks like it's deer season. I think this super team of Nets, even without James Harden right now, this team isn't slowing down. Get the brooms, Brooklyn, because I smell a sweep. The Brooklyn Nets are a money team, and this week, they were made for the money line. My money line pick this week is the Brooklyn Nets beating the Milwaukee Bucks. For my over-under pick, I have the Clippers and Jazz going over 213. The Clippers have to bounce back in this series if they want to win, and they almost lost the last series. I don't think they can make a comeback like they did going up against Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. Both teams score high in their games comfortably enough for me to think it'll be a competitive game, with Leonard and Donovan shooting back and forth. Let's hope both teams fire off on all cylinders in tonight's game. My over-under pick for this week is over 213 for the Clippers and Jazz. Going on to hockey and the handicap and spread picks, I'm going with the Vegas Golden Knights with a +1 against the Avalanche. My Knights are almost on to the next round, and I'm thinking they're going to close out this round. And with only one hockey bet to make this week, I'm backing the Knights and laying the juice with them with a +1 goal handicap against the Avalanche. It won't be as much value as, say, the money line, but I'm taking no chances with this one. Kadri sealed Colorado's fate, getting himself suspended. It's jinxed them every year, and it's going to again. I just have a feeling. My handicap pick for this week is the Vegas Golden Knights with a +1. And for the bonus pick of the week, we're going to the UFC. Adesanya is the moneymaker for us this week. He's coming off his first career loss, unable to snatch the light heavyweight championship from Jan Błachowicz. But now he's back in his own weight class, and he's going up against Marvin Vettori, a guy he's already beat. In their last fight, like I said earlier, Adesanya won via split decision. And since then, the two have done pretty well in their respective fights. But here's the difference maker for me, though. Adesanya has been fighting on pay-per-views, and Marvin's been battling on fight night. Clear-cut difference in competition level there. And with Adesanya being as good as he is, and the fact that he's got the height and the reach on Marvin, I think Adesanya is going to retain his belt. My bonus pick for this week is Adesanya retaining his belt against Marvin Vettori. Guys, we are in trouble, okay? What do you guys think of these picks this week?
The only trouble that it seems to be is that the Bucks are in trouble, as well as Vettori, because like you said, Adesanya, he's coming off of his first loss. He's going to want to prove himself and redeem that in a way, especially being the main event on the card. Unfortunately, I like you, Zach, I can see him making a statement out of Vettori there. And as for the Clippers versus the Jazz, I trust you on that, Zach. I'm betting my Mr. Noodles money on this stuff. So,
oh, we're down to Mr. Noodles money. This is bad.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the picks are bang on. The Bucks, there's no way that the Bucks are going to get past the Brooklyn Nets. The Clippers, they're in trouble. I totally believe in Adesanya, and the Vegas Golden Knights, they're not going to lose at home. There's no way that they're going to lose game six, a clinching game at the Fortress in Vegas. So I think we could, I'm not going to jinx it, but we could see a perfect 4-0. We'll see what happens. But I think you got some pretty good picks here.
We're on episode 13. It's an unlucky number, but I think it could be the opposite for us.
I agree. I think the return of Kraft Dinner Money is it's going to happen this week.
Let's go, baby.
Oh yeah, definitely. You got to go with that Kraft Dinner Money, man. Let's do it. But on that note, that does it for the 13th episode here of the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. I'm Eric Fox here with Lena McLeod and Zach Natto. We loved having you hang out with us for an hour, but we will see you next Thursday, same time, same station. This has been the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Adios.
Vita say.
Boom.
Nice. That was good.
Oh, man.
And boom goes the dynamite. There you go.